Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world. Our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective. We're going to be talking about bread and the best plans. Bread and the best plans. Man, is God good or what?
All the time.
Always.
All the time. Isn't it amazing how God can lay things out so simply, and yet we try to complicate it, and next thing you know, we're saying it's real hard, but it's because we're actually trying to fulfill our complicated plans for our complicated reasons.
Yeah.
Because it's complicated.
Right.
Is what people say. And it's like, but it was so easy when I knew nothing, and all of a sudden I know something, and why is it harder now I know something? Mm-hmm. Maybe what I know is something that I shouldn't know, or the way I perceive what I know, that now I'm taking pride in what I know. I think about this. I think, the best plans cannot keep a man from sin. Quite often, the best plans is the very thing that leads a man into sin.
Right.
Because a man begins to put trust in his plans. When things are so well spelled out, when a family is so stable and that God has blessed it, the children can be born into a stable household, blessed, pantry full, power flowing, water flowing, school, transportation. That awesome plan makes it real difficult for the children to understand how that came about. And a child could begin to be doubtful, assuming it just happens. And this great plan, because it's so well laid out, the child doesn't have a grid that this is God. This is what God has done. Mm-hmm. And quite often the next generation will lose the blessing because they just didn't understand how it happened. And so that beautiful ramifications and fruit from their parents' life as that example became a stumbling block if the parents did not explain to that child or let that child suffer the reality of life it takes to be able to seek God for these things so God can provide for you. It's like, maybe that wasn't a good plan if I didn't let my child grow up and didn't let my child go through some difficult times. Man, if God expects me, and he's good, to have to till the soil, to plant a seed, to water it, fertilize it, and weed it to eat, why should I deprive my own kid's hands of soil and fertilizer and facing that there's weeds to pull in life and that there's soil to till, and there's seed to buy, that you have to work for to be able to plant the processes of life. How many parents today are acting like the government, like the parents? It's like, oh, you don't have to do anything. You can stay on your parents' insurance policy till you're 50 years old. It's like, I think parents just became government. Listen, you can stay on your parents' insurance till you're 25. 25, you should not even live till like 35 or 40. I mean, now 25? Which means you're delaying the reality of how are they going to know how to acquire finances to be able to have their own insurance, to provide for their own family, to have their own, think about it. I mean, the best laid plans do not keep us from sin. Quite often, even though things are going well in your life and you want to bless other people, the best blessing you can have for people quite often is to teach them how to fish. To teach them, tell them your testimony, how you got here, how God brought you here. And if you continue to eat from this table, you have to understand that every breadcrumb, every piece of meat, the light that shines over this table, the fork you put in your mouth, the plate you set the food on, and the bed you lay your head on, it comes from God. God provided these things. This is where they come from. And I think about Romans chapter 7, when Paul's talking about, when I want to do good, when I get this great plans together to, for things to work out, and I want to do good, I find out, man, that it doesn't always work out. I find out the evil's always present with me. I feel that he said there's sin in me that leads me to sin. He even talks about, you know, the members of my body. It's waging war against the law of my mind. What's going on? You know, this wretched man that I am. In other words, all the good plans, even the blessings. I'm going to look right now. One of the best laid out nations in the history probably of the world, America. This great plan is not saving anyone. Nobody's getting saved because America, you know, was a successful experiment. That it was a good plan. The U.S. Constitution's a great God-inspired document, and it's a great plan, but it still has sinful man around it. So you have people trusting in the plan, and the plan's not making, it's not bringing us to a place of repentance. The best plans don't keep us away from sin.
Right.
I mean, how many people are preaching, you know, the Constitution, and we're getting more and more, we're making that the thing we need to manipulate that allows us to be able to be in the sin that we want to be in, instead of saying, no, it's preach Jesus Christ and the Word of God, because no matter how good the plan is, it's not going to keep us from sin. So you're seeing people today say, we need to expand the plan. We need to make government bigger, because this is a great plan that we can actually take care of everyone, that we can pay people. We can put food on that plate, put forks by their plates. We can put lights over their tables. We can give them beds to lay in. We could do all these different things in this great plan. It's like, yeah, it'll do everything but one thing. It won't lead them to the God who provided those things. It's not a good plan. The best plans cannot keep you out of hell. The widest roads are the ones that lead you there. This is Paul talking about, you know, here I go to do good and I find out evil's there with me. And he says, because of that, because of all these realities, he says that the law of God, the commands of God are good. Why are they good? Because they let us know that the best plans, even with this great plans, even with America, we can see where you get off track. You can see where we left God. But if we don't have the Word of God, the commands of God, we don't know if we've gone astray. We're trusting in the plans of men and not the plans of God. And people are saying, why is it getting worse? Why is it getting worse? It's because we are violating a principle taught by Paul in Romans chapter 7, that the very law itself, you know, produces sin. I mean, it causes sin in our life. And it makes sin utterly sinful, he says. And in that, we begin to say, wait a minute, if I want this good plan to succeed, I got to go back to God's plan. I got to get back in His Word. And we have a particular segment you got to hear. It's called Living Within the Lines, Playing Within the Lines. But football makes no sense without lines on the field.
Right.
And nobody's going to play. You may play it for a little while, but after a while, you're going to be in a deep argument, a theological argument, that this was a touchdown.
Yeah. And they're going to say, it wasn't.
They're going to say, you were close, but that was not a touchdown, you know, and because they're, you know, you thank God for the lines that are there on the field, because people just start doubting everything, doubting everyone. There's no lines on that field. There's no word on that field. Even though it was a good idea to play ball, because there's no lines, eventually it has no meaning, and it will not keep you from sin. Right. It won't. What will keep you from sin in football is lines, L-I-N-E-S, lines. Because it shows you when you're offsides. It shows you when you score a touchdown. It helps you, okay, they scored, we didn't. It's a Saints moment. And understanding that's, imagine living your life in your own plans, playing on a field with no lines. That's what it's like. And right now, America's looking at a good plan called, you know, the Constitution. They're looking at a good plan, this system, this economy, democracy, good plan. But it doesn't keep a man from sin. We need some lines. We need some roads. We need to know who designed this thing. We need to know, where does bread come from? We need to know who causes the stars to shine and who put them in the place. We need to know this creator. We need to know who created us and why he created us. We need to understand again that without understanding that, we can't have faith. How can you have faith in a God that you don't believe that exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him? How can you have faith in a God that you don't even know he's the creator? You can't have faith. How can you pray to a God you're doubting if he actually can do what you want him to do, and he's actually created you and everything that you see? Mm-hmm. The best plans do not keep us out of sin. And believe me, I have seen Pat make some great plans. Now, personally, Steve's made some good plans, and it just doesn't work out, right?
No, it does not.
No, I've made some plans. There's times I'm like, you know, this plan right here, I'm telling you what will be the next thing that I'll find out how much more humble I can be when I get humiliated at the end of it, because it's not going to work, right? Because that kind of men's, we trust in the plans of men, including our own. What we're going to find is we're going to crash and burn, because that law within itself that we created ourselves, it fuels our sin nature. Mm-hmm. But God's law brings us to the cross. It brings us to a place of humility. It brings us to a place of awareness. Yes, I have sinned, but God can forgive me. Yes, you expect much from me. Everything, not just some things, everything. Cost us everything. Pick up your cross, deny yourself, follow me. A disciple is someone who gives up everything to follow God. But we know that by doing that, by trusting in his finished work on the cross, that plan, the plan of God, we can trust him, because his plan was to redeem us through his son. This is a plan, not our plan. Our plan would be totally different. But it's we don't have to worry about our plan. His plan is that he wanted to redeem mankind. It started in the garden. We blew it with the fall of man. But as we were coming out, he still began to make covenants with his folks, with people, with men, and said, you know, I will do this if you will do that. And finally, the final covenant, the covenant of the New Testament that came, the testament of Jesus Christ, he had a plan to redeem us. And that plan is a successful plan that will bring you into his presence and fellowship with him. And even despite our flaws and our good intentions and failed intentions, God will forgive you of our faults and our failures and our mistakes. I mean, we'll cry out, yeah, wretched man that I am, when I want to do good, evil's right here present with me. Who will save me from myself, Paul said. And he says, thanks be to Jesus Christ, for there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The plan of God is to be in Christ, to abide with him, to make him the Lord of your life, to realize the only way, the only plan that's going to work is when you bow not just your head, but your entire life before him and say, I am yours. And I know when I do that, you say that I'm yours too. And then we'll walk this thing out together, and I will follow your ways. I'll learn your ways. I'll follow another. I'll hear your voice. Your plans are good for me, plans to bless me and prosper me and restore the years of my own ignorance and good plans my man plans has caused, and to bless me. Hey, how about you? Are you tired of making your own plans? You watch the next series on lifestyles of the rich and famous. Mm-hmm. You watch something else, and also you're all pumped up. Now, here you're going to go do all these different things, only waiting to fail after the next Tony Robbins seminar. Because you're going to make these great plans, what you're going to do. I can tell Steve's bearing witness with Steve's history here. And all of a sudden, it just crashes and burns. I got a plan for you. This plan is the plan of God. He gave his son to die for you. He knew that you wouldn't be able to do it, that all your plans would fail, but his plans would succeed and your plans and him would succeed. Because if you trust God and his plan, his finished work on the cross of Christ, when Jesus said it is finished, his spirit will empower you to fulfill his plans. You're designed for him. You were created for his pleasure. All these other things are just distractions. If you want to find your purpose and your meaning, if you want to succeed, enter into the plan of God. When you do this, you will succeed.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
What are the religious rights of students in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My daughter is in the fifth grade. They have an open house, and I asked her to let her teacher know that we were not going to be able to make it because we leave to go to church. Her teacher responded back that church is not an excuse not to be there, that if she misses, that she's going to have to make up by doing an oral in front of other classrooms.
Well, first of all, they have to accommodate your daughter's sincerely held religious beliefs and your family's, number one. Number two, this was not an activity during the school day. It sounds like it was an after-school event, an open house. That's not mandatory. That's not under the compelled attendance law of the states for public education. And again, I want to emphasize that you have a, if you had a church obligation, that you had the right to go there and your daughter can't be penalized for it. So I'm going to get you in touch with our legal department here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we'll get you some help.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So imagine a large warehouse.
Okay, hold on, give me biggest, a moment. I mean, give me a minute.
Okay.
I'm thinking
industrial building, you know, hundreds and hundreds of yards wide. Highest of ceilings that you can think of.
And like now, football field size?
Football field size. Massive. Right. And now in
what's
this...
What's it built from?
Industrial material. I don't know.
Industry.
Aluminum. Yes. Is industry.
Wood? Is that wood?
So in this...
Aluminum.
Now imagine...
Aluminum.
Okay. Hold on. I'm imagining... Okay. I'm going to get this
picture
big.
Picture it.
I'm picturing it.
Okay.
This is a big building.
This is a very big building.
Okay. Got it.
Now picture the shelvings. Shelves.
Okay, give me a second.
Wall to wall, okay. Ceiling to ceiling.
All right.
And then as you look in this building, there's just a worker, just diligently stocking,
in this big building,
diligently just stocking shelves. As you look at him and you come close to him, you see him. He's got loaves of bread, and he's just faithfully just one at a time. One at a time.
Doing what? One at a time?
He's stocking the shelves of loaves of bread.
Oh, he's putting the bread on the shelves.
He's putting the loaves on the bread, right? So think about this.
The loaves on the bread or on the shelf?
I'm sorry.
The shelf of the bread.
Thank you. He's putting the bread on the shelves.
Smush the bread.
Oh, my goodness.
I cannot stand smushed bread. So
I'm just gonna start interrupting stories. I'm gonna just see him crash.
I love it. I'm in this big building. I'm with you.
You're in
this
massive building
from the floor,
lots of shelves
to the top.
Yes.
The bread's not smushed because the bread's on the shelf.
Yes. The bread is being placed individually on the shelves. Right.
By the slice.
Think about this.
Okay, go ahead.
I miss all the things. There's things going on outside this warehouse, but it's just like this man, he's just so diligent in what he's doing, right? But you think about it in the fact of just like as you're beginning talking to him, you find out that the whole reason why he's doing this is that he knows one day there's going to be a demand for this bread.
He's like a librarian of bread.
Yes.
He's like putting bookshelves
That's
on
one it. Way to put it. Yes, I'm sure that could be applicable.
Does it have to be quiet?
No, it doesn't. Okay, yeah, he could be having music, whatever.
All right.
But you look at it, and as you're talking to this guy, you come to find out that he knows that there is going to be such a demand for bread that man, woman, child, small, great, rich, and poor, they are going to come and burst through the doors of this warehouse.
Is he holding the bread back from anybody? I mean, can you get in there anytime you want to?
Can we please hold questions to the end? Hold all your questions to the end. Thank you. But you think about it. And you think about it. He knows.
I'm not going to say nothing.
That all these shelves are then going to be filled with bread. But then even what blows your mind even more is as you go and you grab a piece of bread, what looked like originally one piece of bread, there's still plenty more there to grab. An unlimited supply. You can grab and grab and grab all you want, but there's still bread to grab.
Yes.
And what blows your mind as you look at it, and it's just like amidst all the distractions that are going outside of this warehouse, this guy is so determined. I've got to fill these shelves. There's people coming. There's people coming. There's people coming.
It's like putting stuff in a storehouse.
Yes.
Like bread, bringing in bread to the store.
Yes.
It's okay for me to say that?
Yes, you can say that.
It's like bringing, I can like bring in bread to the storehouse.
Yes.
Wow, I like that.
Yes.
I like that.
And you, as you're talking to this man,
does
he
bread
understands.
Get moldy? I mean,
no, it does not get moldy.
Bread.
It
this
doesn't matter how long it sits there. It doesn't get moldy. It's like, how awesome is that? So as you're talking to this guy.
So you're basically saying that people are going to get hungry.
They're going to get very hungry, so much so that they're going to rush the doors.
Oh,
and
wow.
All the shelves. And imagine that once empty warehouse is now full of people. But you're talking to this guy and he understands that there's a demand. There's a need bigger than himself. And he's got to stock the shelves.
So it's not about the stocker at all.
No, no.
It's not even about the bread.
No.
It's about the one who's going to eat it.
Yes. So as you think about this, and it's just like, all right, where are we going with this? What are we talking about? You think about this.
I didn't want to ask the question.
You think about this. Okay, the warehouse. What are we talking about? And it's just like, go to the torch.
Oh, yeah. 500,000 people have already eaten.
Amen.
Now.
Yes. Wow. Go to VFNTV.
Wow, 500,000 folks.
You look at this.
That's powerful.
That's huge.
A loaf of bread, one single segment.
Yeah.
One single post.
Yes.
One single episode. You look at the workers, those that are sowing, those that are giving, the partners, the sponsors, those that are listening,
saying, in the shelves.
Hey, you've got to listen to this app. I just downloaded this app. You got to come check this out. Who are these crowds that are going to be bursting down these doors, rushing the stocks? This is the harvest.
Right.
Jesus says, pray to the Lord of the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
He says, the workers are few. Pray for workers. What's going on outside the harvest? That's the world.
Right.
There's so many distractions, things that seek to keep us from sharing the bread of life. I just want to encourage, if you have, is this the first time you're listening? I encourage you to get into, just dive into the torch. Run to the shelves, pull as many loaves of bread as you want. And you know what? There's still going to be bread to pull. But think about this. If you are sowing, if you are sharing the torch, if you're posting on Facebook, if you're posting on others, telling other people about it, even when you're sleeping, people are still eating that bread. People are still rushing those shelves, even when you're not even thinking about it. They're downloading the app. Nations are listening. People are scrolling through the torch right now because you were faithful to give them a piece of bread. They're listening to the audios. They're reading through content and articles. They're empowered, they're strengthened, their faith is being risen. When you look about this, Jesus says in Matthew 6, he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths destroy, where thieves break in and steal. He says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths do not destroy and where thieves do not break in. When you think about this, Jesus talks about the prodigal son when he comes back and Jesus shares a couple stories as far as like, you know, does someone not look after the 99 sheep? But when the one comes back, there's a celebration.
Right.
How great is the celebration in heaven when one sinner repents and says, I want to know Jesus.
I want bread.
I want the bread of life.
What if they weren't stocking the shelves? There would be no bread.
Exactly. If there was no bread to eat. But because they said yes, how much greater is it when that one person is continually spending time with Jesus, praising his name. You think about the throne room of God, the presence of God, the 24 elders, the four heavenly creatures, all the heavenly host, they're glorifying God. When you're witnessing to someone and they decide to say yes to Jesus, you're adding to that glory because someone was just added to that moment saying, I want to praise God. That gives glory to God. Revelation 19, it says, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you servants, you who fear him, both small and great. He says, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roar of rushing waters, loud peals of thunder. He says, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad to give him glory.
Awesome.
That's giving God glory.
Yeah.
And it's just like there is a celebration that God and all of heaven has when we're glorifying God, when we're leading people to Christ. Jesus says in John 6, he says, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God, for the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to this world. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. If you are sponsoring, if you are partnering with VFN TV, I want to encourage you, this is what you are doing, providing bread to the nations. And I want to encourage you, if you have not yet, get into that warehouse, into that storehouse of the torch, and share the bread of Jesus with all the nations.
Yeah, and join over 500 million so far that have come in. And
amen.
The harvest is reported, according to so many words, a billion souls. Amen. Being saved, and it's going to take bread to nourish you.
Amen.
And make sure you go to the VFN Torch. You can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, and VFN Torch is right there. We have over 3,500
almost
and growing segments for you. Bread. Get it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't forget, you can carry us with you everywhere you go with our app. You can go to VFNTV.com and download our app. We have it for all the different devices that are out there. And you want to be encouraged, you know, turn on, you want to change your workplace. You want to change the atmosphere of your home. Turn on VFN Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just let it go. Just let it go and just begin to watch things change with your children, watch things change in your life and with your marriage and your business and your workplace. And I'm telling you that the truth sets you free.
That's
and
right.
It sets your business free. And it's just a conversation. God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that. I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Spam.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm trying to talk about something very important here.
Can you elaborate on that?
I know. I am eagerly anticipating.
Spam. Spiritual people always move closer to God.
Wow.
And when you think about spam in general, because normally that's something that I threw out to my backyard for my dog.
He wouldn't even touch it.
Who licks his feet.
And
he pushed a block of spam around, and he wouldn't even put his teeth or his tongue near it or his lips. And I'm gonna tell you where he's had his lips, where he's had his teeth and his tongue.
Thank you, Sparrows.
It
looks back at you being like, what are you giving me?
I know. He pushed it around the yard like a block of, I mean, he wouldn't even play with it. What's in spam, right?
Nothing good.
Don't read the label.
Yeah. Speaking of that, and what did you want to share about spam? You said
eagerly anticipating.
It's a delicacy in Hawaii, by the way.
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
You can actually fry it
with a pineapple on top of it with a cherry.
They do it all kinds of ways.
Yes, they do.
It's amazing. You like steak. I'm serious.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Look it up.
How many times have you been to Hawaii?
Not once. But I've seen a special on it.
Not in the limousine.
Oh, you believe everything you see on TV?
I saw them eating it.
I've got proof.
I got evidence.
I've got proof.
That's why, you know, being overweight is not just an American problem. It's all 50 states.
All 50.
The Hawaii actually has an issue. Mm-hmm. They put like fried eggs on top of everything.
On top of the spam.
On top of the spam with the cherries.
So what was the thing you were talking about, spam?
Well, spam... Yes. Oh man, college life, living off of spam. Life. Yeah, you just think about it. It's just like sometimes spam is those delicacy moments.
Because it's pretty expensive, though, isn't it?
It can be. I mean, it's canned goods.
You can make it last.
The good thing is too is there's no expiration date on it. So
you couldn't run good.
No, I mean you can kind of like reach back far in that cupboard and you're like
it normally is far back in the back.
And you kind of go back a little
moment when
further.
You bought it. You're like, what was I thinking? You know, just leave it back there. You know, maybe famine will come. We'll pull
you're
it
like
out.
It doesn't expire for another 74 years. I guess it's still good.
Right. What is the lifespan of a can of spam?
A long time.
I don't know. So what were you saying?
No, I just you know, just thinking about what you're saying as far as, you know, spiritual people always move closer to God.
Bam.
It makes me think about, too, you know, we've said before, it's just like when we're united with God, if we're in his spirit, we're going to be drawn to him. Because there's so many other things that we can unite in the world. If we're going to be united with anything, we have to make that one choice and say, okay, I miss all of this. I'm going to say no to all of that so I can unite myself with God. And if you've got other people that are going to be united in that same way and make that same choice to go with God, they're going to be united themselves closer to each other because they're uniting around the one same thing, around God.
Not spam.
No, not spam.
But they move closer to God.
Yes.
I mean, to be spirit-led, those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. God's called us to be. You know, if you hear the verse quoted about, you know, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, which is true, and that, you know, what we couldn't do because we were sin and because of our sin nature, not we were sin, but we had sin nature, God did and dealt with our sin nature once and for all. And then it goes on. Everybody just stops there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they build huge, you know, religious institutions off that, but they just don't go to the next sentence.
Mm-hmm.
For those who were led by the Spirit.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's just, they just stop. It's like, woo! And it's like, oh, so I need to actually spam. Mm-hmm. If I'm a spiritual person, I'm always moving closer to God. I'm actually I'm following God. I'm actually hearing what God says. I mean, spirit, true people who are following God's spirit. If your spirit is following God's spirit, you're moving closer to God. You're led by the Spirit, which makes you think about the next part. And those who don't follow the Spirit live a life that's contrary to God, and it doesn't work out good for them. And it's like, oh my goodness. It's like, it's so, you know, if you read all Romans chapter 7, you know, Paul's struggling with the reality of our sin nature. And he says, you know, Jesus is the answer to, he's the answer to the sin. He solved the sin problem on the cross. Then he comes on, he says, but there's some sort of obligation he talks about in Romans chapter 8 that we have. And it's an obligation not to our sinful nature, but to the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. And how many people treat the gospel the way people treat, as we were jokingly talking about, the meat spam. They don't bite it. They don't taste it. They just push it around for 15 minutes on Sunday. Or they, you know, 81%, according to George Barna, don't even open the can of spam. They don't even open their Bibles. You know, and you think about it, as funny as it was when we were talking about spam and how repulsed even a dog was from it, how the dog even repelled spam. How many people who call themselves a Christian, a Christ follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, one who knows and follows his teachings, push God's Bible away the way somebody does a can of spam? You don't put your teeth into it. You don't taste it. You don't understand that the Lord says, taste and see that he's good. You just go, you know, that, I don't know. And you have this religious perspective of God. Why God loves you, gave his son for you, wants to redeem you, but you have a choice. Am I going to sink my teeth into this gospel? Am I going to begin to eat and taste and see the Lord is good? He says, my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you know, you got to quit treating me like a can of spam here. I mean, if you really want, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can't be saved. We're kind of being humorous about spam, but think about how many people treat God, treat the gospel, treat fellowship, treat his word the way people treat spam. I mean, think about it, isn't it? You think about that.
Yeah, and it's huge. I think about that because, you know, when I think about, you know, there was moments when I've had spam, but it's like when you look back on it, you just kind of get that cringe of just like, well, I'm not really looking forward to that.
Right.
And it's like I've seen that cringe on somebody's face when you bring up Jesus, and it's just like, but you were just saying Jesus a moment ago. Right. But now we want to talk about the word. We want to talk about the meat.
I didn't want to eat it.
Are you cringing
leave
now?
Jesus in the can.
Yeah. Right.
You have to leave him in the can.
Yeah, it's like then they're like, No, I want to talk about it. Don't open the can.
Right.
I don't want to get into it.
I'll put it on my shelf.
I like looking at it.
I'll put it in my pantry.
Yeah.
I'll put it on my coffee table.
Oh my goodness.
But I will not open it.
How many cans are sitting in cupboards uneaten?
That's right.
Wow.
Even big huge cans of spam sitting on coffee tables. That's something. And the difference in spam, because I can't tell you, you know, I'm not a dietitian and I don't even want to read what's in it, so it could be good or bad. That's kind of people's response to it, although it is a delicacy, I know, in Europe as well. I didn't know about Hawaii, but I wouldn't doubt it. Anything, I'm sure you Googled it well. No,
he has proof.
He has proof. That, I mean, how many people, because you look at a can of spam, the unique thing about a can of spam is that it's self-contained. It has a key. And you, all by yourself, you don't need a can opener. You can take that key. If you choose to say, okay, I'm going to look at the contents of what's in this can. I'm going to bravely begin to open this content, and I'm going to look inside this can. What's inside this can? And there's a key. There's a little key that's like on the bottom or something. You take it off. There's a little thin piece of metal on the side of it, and you got to put the little flap in this little key with a slice, and you start just cranking it open. I mean, you have the way they designed this can of spam, that if it's you in the wilderness with a can of spam, they've empowered you to be able to single-handedly rip open a metal can and eat its contents because they've given you the key. Without a key, I don't know if you ever tried to open one in the past without a key.
No.
Key gets broke off and you can't find it because you left it in the pantry 50 years, so you have no key. It doesn't work, you know. Pliers, and you just got to rip it. Anyway, so they give you a key. And so all by yourself, if you choose to eat this can of Spam, you choose to draw near to God, because spiritual people always move closer to God, Spam, that you can open it. Just pull the key. Put it in the metal flap and just start spinning it and twisting it. And as you do, more and more of what's in that can gets closer and closer to you being able to eat it, to taste it, to see how good it is. And eventually you have to take the whole thing all the way off and you peel the top back, and this big hunk of something is in the can, and you're able to take it and taste it and see. Mm-hmm. But how many people's like, it's just too much effort, it's too much energy. Because the reason why the can of God's word, in that analogy, the Bible, that it doesn't mean that much to you right now and you don't even know where to start. It just seems like just almost like that can of Spam, is because you don't have the key.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Prior to you having the key, you don't even know how to open it. Do I start in Genesis? Do I start in Revelation? I'm going to do all the scary parts, you know, because that's part of the things that somebody told me about, you know, the Nephilims and all that. Or, you know, I need a key. If I could have a key in the wilderness with a can of Spam and open it, if I have the key to the Bible, I'm going to be able to open this thing in a way that's going to mean something to me. Without the key, though, I can't really access it. Even though I can open it, it's not going to be the same. I got to have the key. What is the key to understanding this? A map has a key. Call it a legend. I mean, a map means nothing if you don't know how long a mile is, how big the city is, what's the name of the road. I mean, you got to have a key. What's north? What's south? Mm-hmm. And you need a key to be able to make sense of the Bible, to be able to truly open it up so that spiritual people you can join will draw near to God. You could draw near to God too. And the key is Jesus Christ. The key is Jesus Christ, you see. The word in the beginning, this is the key. And he talks about it in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And he says, and the word became a key. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. And he walked around in every way. Jesus walked around in every way, just like we are. In other words, he experienced all the turmoil, all the temptation, all the pain, all these different encounters. But the thing about it was, the reason why he's the key is he never, never sinned. He never did anything contrary to what the Father wanted. If he did, he wouldn't be a key. There wouldn't be a key. But because he did that, I mean, you can imagine what a key looks like, especially a key for a can of Spam. But you look at the cross. I mean, the cross, you can take what Jesus did on the cross, and if you trust and put your full trust in what Jesus did, his death, burial, and resurrection, his death on the cross of Christ, where he paid the price for our sin, for your sin. If you do that, you take that cross and you touch it to the Bible by faith, and you begin to realize, I can read this because I've made Jesus the Lord of my life. This word will open up to me. I will be like all spiritual people, and I will move closer to God because now I have the key. The key is knowing Jesus Christ, because the Word is Jesus. He is the Word. He was made flesh. The Word is living. It's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing of my thought and intent and attitudes and all these different things. It lets me know everything that I need to know. Man, I can really taste and see. If I open this thing up and quit treating it like a can of Spam and treat it like it truly is, Jesus' flesh is real meat, his blood is real drink, that you can taste the word of God, meditate, and just let it just kind of savor in your mouth and feel that spiritual saliva begin to come, and all of a sudden going down in your spirit, and all of a sudden you'll just be alive in Christ, and all of a sudden you too will understand Spam. The spiritual people always move closer to God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing?
If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 eye guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 eye guy.
$50 eye guy.
Almond milk. I mean, think about this.
Really?
You know, that... you know, you drink milk for years, right? Mm-hmm. You drink milk for years. Yeah, but you go buy a gallon of it back when it was cheap. Now it's like it's expensive.
That's like much as gas.
No, it's more than gas
actually.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? It's like $4 and something a gallon or something. I don't know.
Crazy.
It is.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden I found out that there's actually a better product that you can drink that doesn't have as high calories, a lot of fat and milk and all that. Mm-hmm. It's good when you're a kid and you're drinking all that and getting, you know, you need that as as a kid. Obviously our brains quit growing. So we don't need, it's supposed to be good for brain growth and stuff. But then I found out about almond milk. I mean, think about this. I mean, almond milk, and just, I was just blown away. Like, oh, what's this going to taste like? You know? And so I tasted it and I thought, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I was just trying to figure out, how do you get milk out of an almond?
You can drink a glass of almond milk?
Yes, I could drink a glass of almond milk. Mm-hmm. Yes. But I was more curious, like, how do you milk an almond? I was thinking, like, if you can milk a cow, I know how you can milk a cow, but why do they call it almond milk?
Yeah, Pat, tell us.
Is there some sort of, like, almond cow somewhere?
I don't know.
And they, like, almonds come out, and then they just, how does an almond turn into milk?
Don't have an answer for you on that.
Well, they're not our sponsors, but I do say this.
I guess they put it in a blender and chop it up. I don't know.
I mean, I had, you know, we've had our share of almonds, right?
Oh yeah,
but it doesn't taste like almond milk.
No.
Every now and then, it does have like a wood quality to it.
Especially as it's sitting around a while.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. But I just trying to figure out, how do you get milk from an almond? They probably should just call it almond juice. Or something like that, but we wouldn't put it on our cereal then.
Probably not.
Anyway, getting back to the more important topics.
Yeah.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. My goodness, who would have ever thought that now when you look at a can of Spam, you're going to start thinking about that Bible that's been sitting on your end table with the family genealogy in it, and you're going to look at it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to think, we don't open the can of Spam quite often, even though it's a delicacy where?
In Hawaii. They still eat it.
What was the other... factoid.
Factoid.
It was a wartime ration during World War II.
It lasted, I bet.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing lasts a good week in the war.
We
right?
have termed it factoids.
United factoids. Kingdom still.
Patoids.
Patoids.
Well, also, too, in the scripture that says, you know, he that's full, right?
Yeah. He's thinking about it.
He went to school for this.
That hate it? That yeah, scripture.
He never told us his.
That scripture has left me at this moment. But if you think about it, that like it's
he that is full loaves honey,
something like that.
Okay,
but in Proverbs it talks about it, it's just like even him that's hungry, what is bitter tastes sweet. Because you think about it, and it's just like if you brought a can of Spam to someone who is about to die, is hungry.
That's when I open my can.
They're not. Yeah. They're not going to look at that can of Spam and be like, how many calories are in that? You know, it's just like, well, does that make up
except
my...
for Pat. He will.
Pat
he, as he's eating it.
Yes.
Big Mac.
Yes. But you think about it. It's just like, if we're really hungry, we're going to break open that key. Okay. He's all right. But if you think about it, we're going to break open that key and we're going to dig into that meat because we're that hungry. And it's just like...
You don't have to dig in it. It just kind of sits there. You can kind of slice it off like cheese.
But you think about it. In Matthew, Jesus says, blessed is he who's poor in spirit. Because when we understand, how wealthy Jesus is in the spirit. And it's just like how much that we desire to be with him. Like, oh my goodness, I so desperately need him. We want to spend time with him. A hungry person knows how much they need food. When you put food in front of somebody that's hungry, they know this is so good. And it's the same thing when we know the fact of just like, I need Jesus. We want to break into that word of God and just spend time with him. And it's just like, how powerful is that when we truly understand that we can dig into him as much as we want. We have the key.
That's right.
It's exactly it. And as a matter of fact, I have the ingredients now for Spam, just in case you want to know.
Oh, wow.
It is, how many servings per can does it say?
Six
servings.
Six? Who would have thought?
It actually stands for spiced ham. That's what the abbreviation is.
Spiced.
In case you wanted to know.
Spiced ham.
Factoid.
Spiced ham.
Factoid. Factoid. Anyway. But it's six servings per can. It's only 180 calories per slice. I thought it was like 35 servings. You know, you just kind of take a little piece off and go, what was I thinking? You put it in some tup of
trash.
Trash. And you don't throw it out at the dog, believe me. The dog's, you think, okay, I'll just reward him with this big hunk of Spam.
Right, right.
That's like $400, dog. Eat it. You know what I'm saying? You yeah. push it around. I was thinking, what have I been eating?
You spent $400 on Spam?
I mean, well, you know, give or take 100. The and it's per slice now. It's 2 ounces is a serving, I guess, whatever that is. We're Americans. We don't know what 2 ounces is. Everything's
pretty
put
small.
Put me another scoop on there, right? And 16 grams of fat.
Oof.
16 grams of fat.
Out of 2 ounces. That's huge.
Six grams of saturated fat. Pat, you can explain this to us because we don't
know. It's a lot.
790 milligrams of sodium. You could just rub that on your ham.
That's a third of
it. It would save it.
Your daily intake of what you should have.
But you could yeah. you could buy a can of Spam, and if your other food is not preserved, you could just rub the Spam on the other food. If it's got 790 grams of salt, you know, sodium, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a preservative. You could just take the Spam and just rub it onto yep. your chicken. Or I'm just don't know what. I'm trying to figure what would you want to preserve? We're waiting for Steve to come back here. I'm sorry. Don't piss mute now. They won't know what you're doing. Anyway, so.
He's crying.
Yeah. And there is, good to know, there's only, well, there's 7 grams of protein. So there's something in there.
Mm, yeah.
And there's no sugar. So those that are on the sugar diet, you know, all the Spam you won't do, right? And, there's no fiber, so you're going to need to take something afterwards, so we'll move on.
A lot.
You know what I'm saying? A company, you know, give it a train ride on through. Anyway, so, I mean, think about this, that, I mean, you can look, if you look at their Spam website, by the way, this is amazing. They actually have it in sandwiches. They have it in eggs. They have it in some croissant-looking thing. They have it in little Western egg roll Spam. Look at that. Everything can be. We are missing something here. We have been looking at Spam the wrong way.
I have never recipes. Considered Spam a health alternative.
Oh, wow.
If you're trying to cut sugar out or tofu, if you like, think about this, if just like what you're saying, if you're wanting to apply Spam to your chicken, if you're out of salt, you can reach for the Spam. I never would have thought about that.
Just rub it on your food. You don't even have to eat it. It's 900 some grams. You can even have sushi Spam. I'm saying I'm going to have a sushi good. Spam.
A buffalo sushi. Spam burger.
A buffalo Spam burger.
Wow.
You can have Spam wrapped in rice with some seaweed around it. You can have Spam over your eggs with slices of orange. Oh, you run some toast there, right? You put cheese and Spam on your bread. Oh, shish kebab, Spam kebabs.
Oh my God.
You know, you can have Spam kebabs and have, you can have Spam. Okay, but the ultimate, I guess, is the
Spam turnover.
It's a Spam. Oh, Spam turnover.
Wow, with icing.
A little icing.
Lovely.
That's, you got a little protein. You got about 900 something grams of salt in that little turnover thing.
I don't think I've ever had this much exposure to Spam in one day.
Well,
this is
Spam
and
noodles.
This is a lot to take in at one time.
You can have Spam and noodles. You know, you can mix
Spam teriyaki.
If you're eating Spam, you can take Spam with your ramen noodles. That's two. I mean, you can have like, that's like having a turkey and dressing for a college student.
Yeah.
You know, budgetary speaking, you know what I'm
exactly.
saying?
Exactly.
Yes.
And you probably won't feel good after that. And they have that Crisco.
Spam.
Crisco Spam.
Musubi.
I got to put my glasses on. Oh, spam dessert. Is that dessert? Oh, jalapeno, Patrick. Oh.
Chili rellenos.
Yeah, on chili. Spam on a chili. That would probably do good because you couldn't taste the spam. It just burn your mouth. Oh, look at that. Looks like your protein bar.
Four like stars. Protein bar. No, that's okay. Your strawberry pie.
That was just the septic company. Okay, the... Oh, you can have like a grilled cheese, egg, and spam sandwich.
The Muppet. There you go. There's your... See? The eggs and the spam. The only thing they're missing right there is the little cherry on top.
You can have spam burritos. Get spam burritos going on. Spam tacos. We have been... I'm going to pull my can of spam out, man.
We have been missing out.
Like I said, I did not see the different
repertoire.
What is that? Is that like a... What is that?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, you got spam pizza?
I'm kind of concerned about that.
You got spam pizza? You got spam wrapped in bacon. Boy, that's really just cardio all the way, isn't it?
That's a cardiac arrest.
I might as well just wrap myself in bacon here. You have spammy... Christo Minas, that pie with spam. In it. Mm-hmm. Of course, more spam tacos, and we're gonna make this available. If you want
to
know,
you got to see this.
I know
this
you're
will
just thinking
related.
Like, I've got to see this. This is accurate. We're looking at spam side dishes, and coming soon.
Oh, I
they
can't
have
wait.
Some plates coming soon. Some ideas and some concepts.
Oh, I think that right there, the cool cucumber, that is the first one that has been 2 stars. Everything has been 4 stars or 5.
We have to go back because I haven't
rated on
stars.
Young's.
You've been counting stars. It's amazing how good
it is.
You
amazing.
Are
I mean, these are getting positive 4 stars out of 5.
This
so
is, you got to check this out. And don't forget this. We want to make sure that you remember that spam, spiritual people always move closer to God. Don't believe the religious because wide is the road that leads to, beef.
Destruction.
To destruction. But narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few that find it. But people who truly are spirit led by the Son of God, God's Spirit, are sons of God. And we're following what God's Spirit wants in our life. We had a little fun with spam. Yeah, we'll make that available to you. But still, realize if you're not drawing closer to God, there is no single staying place. You have to begin to continue to move forward. God's always moving. Don't forget, spam. Open your Bible up. Spiritual people always move closer to God. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
John, you remember that? Remember that kind of like that that little video clip of that guy running during that slow mo? How did that go?
No.
Like the marathon runner, the guy was like, chick-chick-a. And it's like showed him running or something. Come on, you're from the 70s. I know because that came out right before me, and that was a popular movie.
What do you mean confused with Pat?
What movie was that?
It was like Chariots of Fire or something, there was a marathon runner.
80s, by the way.
Okay, it was 80s. Okay.
Right.
But what I will tell you about Marathon, okay,
what is do you that know?
BFN Radio is available on the Marathon weekend. Steve, you know what that is? That is every weekend, the whole week's radio program are back to back to back. It's the VFN Radio Marathon.
Wow.
So throughout the weekend, you can enjoy all of the great segments, all the great insights, God's news behind the news from Monday through Friday, all on your weekend on a 24-hour loop. I encourage you stay plugged in and enjoy your weekend with the VFN Radio Marathon.